Kuzampo and welcome to Inside Koi Bhutan. This is a podcast initiative hosted by Koi Voices of Bhutan. My name is Tash Satin and with me today I have...
Kuzampo everyone. My name is Pemadoji and this is the very first episode of Inside Koi Bhutan podcast. And the theme or the topic that we're going to be talking about or discussing about is Tashi.
7 years of ID Hot in Bhutan.
And I think before we move ahead with discussing further or talking about today's theme, I think it's better if we let our listeners know what ID Hot actually is, because most of our people are not aware what is ID Hot or why the day is being observed by the whole LGBT community or the queer community around the world.
So ID Hot is an international event which is celebrated annually on 17th May, which celebrates the declassification of homosexuality as a mental health illness by WHO in 1990. Yes, Pema, I agree. This is a very special year for us because this is also the 7th year of observing ID Hot in Bhutan and also the first year where we are doing it while we are also celebrating the recent decriminalization of homosexuality in Bhutan.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was around December 2020 when Bhutan officially decriminalized homosexuality.
Yes, and the law came into effect in February 2021. Pema,
yes,
you were there from the very beginning, right? Mm-hmm. When it actually, we actually started observing ID Hot. I think it was in 2015, right?
Yes.
That was... Yeah, one of the weird years I had, because I was coming in terms with my sexuality and getting to know the community around me. What was your first experience of ID Hot like?
Actually, if you're talking about the very first time when we observed ID Hot, I think it was in 2015, like you said. And the only thing I remember is like we didn't get much time to prepare, because before that, I think like maybe 1 or 2 days before, only we came to know that there is a day that or an LGBT team day that we can observe as in community, I think. Only thing I remember is like us being really we were like just running around because we only had a day to put up an event, inviting guests, coming up with agenda and all that. So that's a vivid memory that I had for the very first ID Hot that we were planning and has observed.
When you say that, I remember it was Dr. Ruben Del Prato, the UNAIDS representative to Bhutan, who said there's this international event that all the queer people celebrate around the world, and he was the one who said, why don't you observe it in Bhutan? And I guess that's where it all started.
And yeah, I think like you made me realize the significance of ID Hot. I mean, it was the very first, I think, like any LGBT related event that was observed by the community in the country. I think it's the very first LGBT related or theme event that we observe in our country. So I think ID Hot has also become a very significant in that way.
Besides the 2015 event, what other memories do you have of ID Hot?
The other memory that it's like quite vivid in my mind would be the follow-up to the 2015 celebration, I think. In 2016, I think we outdid what we had, I think, done in 2015.
Yeah, the UN event, right? Followed by the one at the hotel.
Yes, I think we have collaborated with the UN during that time.
Yeah.
And one of the most significant thing that happened was like... I think it was a morning event, I think, like, and it's the very first time in the country, I think, like, we have hoisted the pride flag.
Yeah, the rainbow flag.
Yes, the rainbow flag in UN compound.
Yeah, and also the first one to do so in the region, I guess. And
really?
Yeah, and...
You're saying that I think we were the first one to do it in the region.
I think so, and later on, I think Nepal did it. They hosted the pride flag.
Okay, that is like that is something that I didn't know.
And then
I think like that's in a very new and interesting information that I came to know today only. Yes, I think that was in, I think like we did an event in collaboration with UN. I think like the day started really early, I think, especially in UN compound, where in the presence of the community member and of course our allies and stakeholder, I think where the pride flag was hoisted by you, this is Saladin, and of course the ex and UN country coordinator or representative.
Yeah, the UN representative.
And I especially remember, I think she was also one of the biggest allies during that time. And even our friend, I think Tim Jenkins, has helped us to come up with any two videos.
Yeah, he was the one who sponsored the flags. I actually have one of the flags still with me.
After the flag hoisting ceremony, I think like we took the event to a venue. And during that time, I think like we have invited various people from different fields.
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember the venue's name, but it was in Motitang.
Yeah, around Motitang area, that venue's name, I mean.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember
that. It was a whole day event, I mean. We even got a psychiatrist, I mean, on board to serve as a panel.
Yeah, I remember him saying that being gay is a choice, and the community did not react well to this statement.
I especially remember cringing to that statement, I mean.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, like his intention was in the right place. And maybe he didn't know that using the word choice can be offensive to the community.
Yeah, and to be really honest, we don't choose to be gay, bi, or transgender. It's just that it happens. We are just born this way, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, true. And I think. That event, I think it was.
Yeah, there were a series of presentations and panel discussions and a set of interviews.
I think it was a whole day event. After I think like we woke up around 6 or 7, and it went till I think like towards nine p.m. I think like in the evening, because after the I think like physical event, we had a BBS interview. I think a BBS interview was scheduled for that day.
Oh yeah, I remember that. We also,
it was I think it was Pasung Doji and Dishin Salin, I think, who were I think interviewed by BVS for the both in Dzongkha and I think in English.
Yeah, I almost forgot the BVS interview.
And we were there to support them. I think behind the scene.
Yeah, of course we were. I remember that event because of the. Hate that we got from the hotel, actually.
Hate? I know what you're talking about. Of course, like, after the event was done, I think, like, after a few days, we came to know some very unpleasant things being said about us by the owner of that establishment, I mean. What he or she told was that, I think, if he or she has known that it's going to be an LGBT event, or an event where like people of diverse sexual and gender minority would be present.
I think you're being kind. What did he exactly say in Dzongkha?
He said that chakadisegiani meeting in Lavash in the first place, then please samaji jiunse. It's a direct translation, is that like if he has known that it's an LGBT related event, he wouldn't have he wouldn't have allowed us to have that event in that place, in his establishment.
Yeah, and you're being kind by referring the word chakka as LGBT. Chakka is actually a very degradatory term.
And he even went to the extent of saying that by him letting us do an event in his establishment might experience bad luck because of us being there. So that was a very disheartening, stupid thing to hear after experiencing that high of being more like of hoisting the pride flag in UN compound for the very first time.
I guess that's the reality, right?
Yeah, I think that's, like you said.
Yeah, we only show the happy side, the smiling side of a community, but never talk about these issues like and, this.
And just think about it, because here we were, I mean, like, we have more, like, after hoisting that pride flag in UN compound, and like you said, it was being very done for the very first time in the region, and again doing a very successful one-day event, then later doing an almost like 1.5 hour, 2 hours previous interview, and then hearing this thing after
yeah, and he pops out of nowhere, right?
And that thing, and that time, I mean, of course, like, when we hear that statement, I mean, like, that was made for us, I mean, it was like really really disheartening, because when we talk about safe spaces, I mean, like, and enabling environment, and we thought that the place where we had our event was our safe space, and we really never thought that, like, we would be experiencing such kind of
hate. I guess it's also our fault, because we tend to assume the best of people, right? We tend to assume that they'll be kind to us, and they would know our issues and understand and support us, but sometimes they don't. It may stem out of ignorance, or just it's just plain stigma, but the reality is it's that sometimes. Moving on, but away from the sad stories.
Yeah, but you said moving on. I mean, if you look at the bright side, I mean, during that year, I think, like, we received lots of, I think, media attention during that time. I mean, where, like, Kunsel did a story, I think, like, a front page story on us, and they even, like, made the weekly K2 magazine, I think, was dedicated to the community. I mean, like, they featured the community in the weekly K2 magazine. I still have the copy of it, I mean, with me. I mean, and maybe, I mean, like, when you have your office down in the future, I'm going to just frame it and, like, put it up, because that was, like, a really, really, I think, a momentous occasion where, like, a media giant such as Kunsel is going ahead and, like, showing such an support towards the community. And, of course, BBS, like, does do an interview program, I mean, featuring Dishan Seldon and Pasang Doji, of a community member.
Yeah. Now let's move on to 2017, right? What was the theme of that year?
It was family and acceptance.
Ah, yeah. The year where we featured Dishan's family, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the year that we had Dishan's mom as our chief guest, right? Because the theme of the year was family and acceptance. And I remember we had a open discussion about...
Open panel discussion.
Yeah, an open panel discussion. And the gathering was very small and intimate, right?
Yeah, I think we have scaled down from the previous year.
Yeah, and we also changed the venue for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I think it was very small and intimate. And on top of that, I mean, we had one of the most beautiful, I think, like, a panel discussion where, like, we opened the floor to our guests so that they can ask questions, doubts, anything to Dishan Seldon and her mom. And her reply was really beautiful as well, I mean.
Yeah, she was a very, I would say, influential, transparent, right? And a very good role model at that. A lot of people, a lot of parents who are actually struggling to understand...
Or accept.
Yeah, or just simply accept their kids for who they are. Can actually learn something from her.
No, when you actually hear stories such as, like, a parent not willing to accept his child's sexuality
or gender identity
or gender identity, because we do have few of those cases. I think, like, we still do have it. So the moment we see a very proud parents, I mean, like, who is, like, very proud of her daughter, I mean, it was a very refreshing thing. And it was a very beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, and that was a story worth telling, right? But I also know that, except for Dishan Seldon, most of the transgender women that we know or are friends with don't really get along well with their family. They always, in most of the cases, they always run away from their family, because acceptance can be very hard in those cases.
Yeah, I mean, if just talk about the recent case where, like, we do have a case where a transgender woman has been rejected by the family for being a transgender woman. And even to an extent, I think she was also physically, emotionally abused by the family as well, I mean.
Yeah. That was one sad story. It continued for over a lot of, continued for a lot of years, right? I think almost 3 or 4 years where she was...
It was more than that. I mean, like, we have known her for past 4 or 5 years. So the history of, like, abuse and goes way beyond before we came across her. Yeah. I mean,
and that's just one of the stories that we have heard, right? There could be many other stories.
Some of our listeners doesn't have any idea or a proper context about the trans experience, and especially in our country, Bhutan, then they might assume with that with a single story that of Dishin's mother being accepting of her, and that Bhutan is a very ideal country, for especially for the trans community. So we need the other perspective as well, where we have seen the trans children, I think, like, completely being rejected or not accepted by their immediate family,
yeah,
or parents.
Yeah, and as an advocacy platform, we hope that we can feature their stories as well.
I think we'll be able to feature these stories in our upcoming episodes.
Let's hope so. Moving on to 2018-19, that was a very colorful year, right?
Yes, I think.
For Idohot. We had a lot of performance, a lot of guests, a lot of diverse people.
I think especially, I think we have, like, really variety of performance from the community members. I mean, I especially remember the group dance by the trans men group.
Yeah, and the couple dances, like, that they were a highlight.
For 2018, we have, I think, Tsingpel Mo, popularly known as Ampenjo, as a chief guest for the program.
Yeah, she's one of our senior most transgender community member in the country right now.
During that event, I think we also screened a video that we made on her that was resilience. She tells her story, I think. The video is currently out on our Queer Voices Bhutan Facebook page.
Yeah, you can also find it on our YouTube channel as well.
So it was during, I think the video was first, I think, screened there during that event, I mean.
Yeah, on a very personal note, I find, let's call her Ampenjo, right? She has a very resilient personality, right? Despite her challenges, her outlook on life has been very...
positive.
Yeah, and beautiful as well. She would never tell sobbing stories. She would always have a smile, always welcoming and always kind to us.
I think when I first saw her, I mean, during that time, I was working... working in one of the nightclubs in the city, at Thimphu City. So I think she was right outside the entrance to selling porridge. So when I first came across her, I was, like, completely taken aback by this person. I mean, I was like, I was a bit uncomfortable around her, to be really honest with you. But because of her personality, because of the person that who she really is, I think, like, she has won me over. Within the next few weeks, I mean, like, after next few weeks, I used to go to her, buy porridge from her. We used to, I used to sit with her. We used to have chat. And I also used to, really enjoy her company. So I think she has that personality, I mean.
Yeah, and I remember I met her, I saw her first during the 2015 Idohot. Or it was, I think it was before that. She had this one of the most welcoming personalities. She would tell this sometimes tell us this dirty jokes involving a lot of let's not talk about that, but she was very she made you feel at ease, actually, which was very welcoming for someone who was very new to the community, who was navigating their own sexuality as well as the community as well.
At her current age, I think she's the oldest, I think, out transgender woman that's in the community, I mean. And since a lady never tells us age, so we will not be mentioning what is her age right now, but...
I don't even know her age, though.
This is the first I thought after the recent decriminalization. So what is the your future hope for the upcoming Idlehot or the future?
I really don't have really much plans for the future, actually. The way I see it, decriminalization happened at a very early stage for us, actually. You look around the region as well as our neighbors. They took, India took actually 2 decades just to remove that penal code criminalizing same-sex activity. And Taiwan, which is the only country in Asia with same-sex marriage, took 4 decades, like 40 years to do so. So I didn't have much expectations. I didn't think that this would move so fast, but it did. So that's why I'm really don't know what's going to happen. But one thing to look forward is the if the MPs or if the parliament do decide to look into the Marriage Act, which was first drafted in 1980 and is yet to go under a review now.
Before the conclusion of this episode, I want to ask you one more question. I hope you don't. I hope you're not.
It's okay.
So especially, I mean, like, what do you think the future of Idlehot would look like in Bhutan? Observing Idlehot.
I think as long as the community exists, right, and people keep on accepting their own sexuality, and the society comes into terms with other people's identity, and we keep on building tolerance and ultimately acceptance towards the community, Idlehot will be a continuous event for everyone. We may not celebrate it all together, coming under one roof or on a very similar platform, but we do it, but I guess we'll do it in our own ways. We'll celebrate it by being with our own partners. We'll celebrate it by sharing a picture of our own. And I think there are more Idlehots to come.
Thank you so much, Tashi, for your wonderful answer. So before this episode comes to an end, we'd like to remind our listener that Inside Koi Bhutan booklets would be launched during this Pride Month. That is on the month of June.
Yeah. I remember. We actually have developed 10 booklets for the community and by the community. These are very basic booklets which will be distributed over the Pride Month, which is June, right?
Yes, and I think, let us not,
jinx it.
Let us not give more information, because I think we are soon going to come up with another episode of Inside Koi Bhutan podcast on the Inside Koi Bhutan booklet, focusing on talking about the Inside Koi Bhutan booklet. And we'd like to thank you so much for listening to us. And this is our very first episode of Inside Koi Bhutan podcast. And I hope we didn't disappoint you. I've already have, I think, I planned out a very interesting episodes which will be coming out, featuring so many guests. It's not going to be only two of us talking. I think we are going to feature, we are going to invite guests in form of community member, allies, and many more.
Yeah, and for more information and resources, please do check out our Facebook page. We are also on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. And thank you.
Thank you so much. See you next time.